What's up, sports fans? Welcome to the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. It presents Sport Breakers. It's a different look. It's a new look, but we're here. We're having fun. We're going to talk about sports. I'm your host, Juan. I'm joined with Kevin. How you doing?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm doing good, man. It's a nice weekend, nice day, busy weekend for everybody here. If you're watching us live, you are watching us on Imiswa Productions YouTube channel, wrestling, podcast, interviews, movies. Busy weekend for everybody here on the YouTube channel. So thanks for taking time out of your busy weekend and joining us. We are debuting a new episode, a new show, Cinema Movie Podcast. We're talking about sports and Sport Breakers. This is the first episode, really, pilot. We're going to have a few topics we're going to go over, kind of get everybody's feet wet and see what we can talk about in the world of sports. Kevin, why don't you sit back, though, introduce yourself, and let everybody know why sports is such a big deal with you.
My name is Kevin. Sports, big deal to me. Grew up, raised on it. Come from sports areas. It's a hobby.
It's a way of life somewhere in the Midwest.
Exactly. I mean, it's like it's better than a wife. It never goes away. Don't do you wrong. So
you know what? You say that, but let's talk about what I just went through this past January. You have the t-shirt on. That Green Bay loss, probably the worst playoff loss I've ever felt as a Dallas Cowboy fans. Give me Tony Romo fumbling the extra point. Give me Tony Romo losing at the 1 yard line. Give me Dak and the Cowboys losing to Brady by 10. Nothing hurt worse than Green Bay kicking our ass and sending us home.
Oh, you were already at home. They didn't have to send you home. That's the other thing. They were like AT&T the other day. You know how they were last week.
I would rather have Dez catch it and not catch it and have a loss like that than the one we just had this past year.
I watched the game. It was pretty brutal. I have a lot of Dallas fans. You're a Dallas fan. So, I mean, it was pretty brutal. Well, especially to the youngest team in the NFL at that time, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
Not to mention how the defense and Dallas was on such a hot streak coming in, and then Green Bay just cooled us off.
Yeah, Aaron Jones. He's the one that does it every time against Dallas. He performs. He always shows up. You know, and he didn't start. He missed most of the season. But the last four games, he was the league leading in rushing for those past four games. And then going into the playoffs, a big Green Bay fan, I didn't expect us to win. You know, I was just happy that we made it to the playoffs. But that win, it solidified what type of rivalry that is. You know, you got the Ice Bowl back in the 70s. It's that rivalry. And it's nice to see Green Bay send their old former head coach home, too.
Oh, man. So that sparked a lot of NFL postseason talk, and now we are officially in the offseason. Kansas City just got done winning the NFL championship again, the Super Bowl. And now it's like draft is itching, you know, close. Free agency is getting ready to kick off. And honestly, like, it's kind of that bittersweet time of year where there's no football, but yet all the rumors and everything's just ramping up. Did you catch any eyes on the combine?
Xavier Milton, a quarterback for Tennessee, I heard he can throw a nice ball. He's going to be a sneaky quarterback in that draft. Offensive linemen and defensive linemen, they were running a 40 just as fast as some of those running backs. Blake Chrome from Michigan, the running back, little fella, but he killed it on the reps, bench pressing. He weighed 205. He was killing 325. I think it was like 30 times. You know, it's going to be a good draft.
I definitely caught up with some of the draft going in. You know, keeping an eye on the quarterback, seeing who was throwing, who wasn't throwing. We're obviously going to get to that name here in a little bit. And then being a huge Texas fan, seeing Xavier Worthy, and then Mitchell just rushing and doing their 40s in like 4.22.
4.21.
I'd like to see them get drafted pretty high. Tre'Davious Sweat, big defensive tackle from Texas. I'd like to see him get pretty high. But the name everybody was talking about was Caleb Williams, who's everybody's been talking about him recently in the news. He went to the combine and did not throw. There's also plenty of other workouts that he did not participate in. Do you think this guy is just a publicity stunt altogether, or what is the deal with Caleb Williams? Like, me personally, I've never liked the guy, especially being a Texas fan, him coming from Oklahoma. You know, I think he's always been this way, even in Norman, but now that he went to USC and people really get to see how he is, I think that means he's just that much more of a person everybody can dislike.
His attitude, he's a selfish person. I mean, he went to Hollywood, left OU, went to USC, got that Hollywood, Southern Cali attitude. I feel he will be a bust. He's got the talent, but his ego is going to stand in his way overall to me. I mean, he's got the arm strength. He's got the Mahomes-like style. But what he's demanding and asking, you know, one, he didn't take the physical, didn't do any physicals or anything like that. And one of his reasons for that was, not all 32 teams can draft me. There's only one of me, there's 32 teams. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, to me, he's already coming in with a cocky and ain't even played it down in the NFL. NFL is a different type of animal than college.
And these are all like actual statements that he said. And, you know, sometimes when I read what he said, I'm like, I have to double check because I'm like, is he being serious or is this just like a meme? And I go back and look and it's like, no, he's saying all this stuff about, you know, only one team can draft him. He doesn't need I saw that and I was like, yeah, there's some people that haven't had agents before in the past. You know, Lamar Jackson didn't have an agent right away. But I don't know. I still think he is, I don't know if I'd put him up there with the Jamarcus Russell like bust yet, but I feel like he's not going to last more than 5 years.
I agree with that. Giving him 5 years is, and I mean, long as the Jamarcus Russell, the only way he'd be that way, as long as he don't try to act like he watches tape. I mean, the kid's got the talent and the eye and everything for it. It's just he's got to want it. It's like he don't want it no more. He wants everything given to him. He don't want to earn it. You know, you got other players in it. Jaden Daniels, great quarterback. That, to me, that's your future Lamar, you know, type of guy. Great arm talent, can run the ball. Drake May from North Carolina, top pick. He's that kind of country homeboy that you want. He could be a leader. Caleb Williams is not a leader to me. He's more about clout.
I feel like a lot of people are also sleeping on J.J. McCarthy.
I think they are too.
I really do think that guy can be drafted early and probably start halfway through the season. And then depending on what team he goes to, I think he could very, very sneak his way into at least maybe some people's early rookie of the year talks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And compared to Caleb Williams, his attitude, J.J. McCarthy, he's all about winning. He's not worried about numbers, stats, money, none of that. He wants to win. He lets the W speak for themselves. You know, he could have left last year and still probably would have been a first-round pick, but he stayed, got him a national championship. You know, he's a team player. He's somebody that could be a leader, and that's the future of the NFL, him. He reminds me of a C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud, very, very well-liked guy. Not only can perform, but public image-wise, everything like that, does that part.
So doesn't put his up out there. A lot of these quarterbacks coming out this year are, I like to call them the pandemic babies. They got that extra year or two because of the pandemic, and a lot of them coming out now are a year or two older than some of the NFL quarterbacks in the league right now, like Joe Burrow, you know. So you think that benefits any of these guys coming out of college, that they've had an extra year or two in college? Let's talk like Bo Nix. I mean, he just got done with his seventh year. You think that hurts him, or do you think that actually helps him?
Yeah, that's a 50-50 mess thing on that, you know, type of deal. Bo Nix, yes. You got a player, Jake. There's so many players that came out in a draft. Chris Winkie, Florida State. He was 27 years old when he got drafted. Didn't last long in the NFL, but had that maturity, you know. It could help him, but it could also hurt him. You know, that's that double-edged sword type of thing. Bo Nix, actually, he's going to be good. But, okay, with his age, everything coming in, his experience, he's only got 8 years. You know, you can't depend on a quarterback. When you draft a franchise quarterback, you want somebody at least 10 to 15 years. That's what they try to plan on. Bo Nix is one of them ones. If you got a good line, good receivers, you put them in now, you could get somewhere. With his mentality, his experience in college, because he played for multiple schools. You know, so he's had different coordinators, you know, what NFL quarterbacks go through. So, I mean, it's a hit or miss on that. Maturity-wise, I think it helps him, you know. Because it gives them that extra year experience. They didn't get to leave school early.
I think it does definitely. You're definitely going to see who's going to be good and not good right off the bat.
Yeah.
I think that helps out. Like last year was a good example of seeing just what CJ Stroud was able to do was phenomenal. And, you know, I think before we move on to the next subject, I think Chicago could end up being that team if they draft the right quarterback. And
I think they got the right quarterback, my opinion. They just quit switching his offensive coordinators and head coach.
I think they should trade the spot back. I think they should get out of that number one spot, because no matter who they pick, they're going to be scrutinized. They pick Caleb Williams, they're going to be scrutinized. If they take Marvin Harrison Jr., they're going to be scrutinized. If you don't trade that pick away, I think do you draft Marvin Harrison Jr. number one for Justin Fields, or do you go offensive line? I think they should just move away.
I would trade it away, because if you're going to go offensive line, go later on in the draft, because your draft mainly is your quarterbacks, wide receivers, cornerbacks, you know, linebackers, tight ends, you know. I would trade down. Trade down, get you a couple of different picks, and get you a player for it. Get you that now, trade for an offensive lineman, you know.
Now, if you're in that spot, who would you, you know, if you're Chicago, who are you trading that spot to? Or if you're a team, what team do you think would want that number one spot, looking on the outside in?
Atlanta.
You think Atlanta's that desperate to go up and get that number one spot for Caleb Williams or whoever they choose?
They could be. I mean, they're needing a quarterback. I mean, they ain't really had nothing since Matt Ryan. You know, so it was Tampa Bay, you know. Yeah, I know they have the Mayfield issue right now, but they're going to need a quarterback. There's so many teams need a quarterback. I could see the Giants doing it as well. Even though they just signed Daniel Jones to a big contract. They just lost Barkley. They're going to need something. And it's New York. How would you not want the number one pick being in New York? You
know? Yeah, that's true. Going on before we'll touch back into the NFL here in just a little bit. But let's talk a little NBA. We had a bunch of big games this past night. Lakers beat the Bucks. Rockets beat the Trailblazers. Right here in Oklahoma City, the Thunder knocked off the Heat 107-100. The Hawks beat the Grizzlies, and the Knicks beat the Magic. And then you had Cleveland beating Minnesota. But everybody, even with all those scores last night, the big topic of the last 10 days in the NBA has been LeBron's 40,000 points. I'm no NBA guru, but I believe that's never been done, right? He's got the most points in NBA history.
Never been done. 38,000 was him and Kareem. And then reaching 40, it's just – that's where you can get in that conversation. Is he a GOAT? It's up for debate. I mean, the guy's played his tail off for 20 years. Stays in phenomenal shape. The era he plays in, he's probably one of the best or the best player. You know, you got to go era-wise. You'll never probably see another NBA player reach 40,000. There's just – you have to have that productivity every year, and you got to be healthy, which he's – for the most part of his career, he's been majority healthy.
Not to mention he's had the extra two years right off the bat coming straight from high school. They don't do that anymore, right?
No.
Now you have to spend at least a year or two in college before you can go straight to the NBA.
Or they send you to the G League.
Oof.
But, yeah, no, he's the one that actually – they changed that after he got drafted. I mean, that's when they changed it, eligibility, you know. Because Carmelo Anthony, one of his good friends and everything, could have went straight from high school to the pros, decided to go to college, went to Syracuse, won a national championship. That's one thing he has LeBron don't.
Some people say that set Carmelo back a little bit, though.
Career-wise in the NBA, yeah, but he's got that one thing, you know. It just shows he needed that growth, you know.
So, you know, there's a lot of talk. I mean, it seems like people just can't sit in the moment and enjoy what they have in front of them. Same thing when we were watching Brady, Manning, Favre, probably even Michael Jordan. Why can't fans just enjoy this instead of now thinking, oh, he doesn't have the titles, he's not the GOAT? Or now they're thinking, when is he going to retire? I always say stop asking when he's going to retire and just sit and enjoy and watch what he's doing.
Exactly, yeah. Enjoy what you got because you'll probably never see it again.
Yeah, because when he's gone, he's gone.
Yeah, and there'll be nobody else like him. You got other players that are doing their own thing. You know, like Jason Tatum right now is in his own kind of group. For Boston, 25 years old. Luka from Dallas. Enjoy that stuff. Joker, you know, Jokic. There's more triple-doubles now in the NBA than people are worried about. Oh, well, this, that. Let's compare this. No, just enjoy something because you're not going to see athletes like this around for a long time. You know, like the Brady, any era, even the Jordan era, people enjoyed it. And he didn't. Jordan got a lot of hate, but not too much. Not like LeBron does.
Let me ask you that, because I mean, you know, you were probably your high school level when Jordan was in his prime, 93, 96?
Yeah, I graduated in 97, so yeah. I was in junior high and high school when he was winning his titles.
How was that? Just being in that era, listening, watching, observing.
It was amazing.
Were you like a huge basketball fan then? And if so, like, was it like, okay, I'm going to follow Jordan? Or what kind of team did you kind of set your eyes onto?
Believe it or not, I am a Bulls fan, and because of Jordan. You know, I'm a big Jordan fan. Probably the greatest player that ever played, especially in that era, which was rough. But it was fun. I mean, but you got to see him go against people like John Stockton. Him and John Stockton, Karl Malone against those guys, you know, Magic Johnson. Towards the end of Magic's career, he went against Bird. That was that era in basketball where basketball took that big jump to being centerfold, almost like the NFL. Basketball was popular, but Jordan's the one that took it to another stratosphere, you know, especially with, like, Space Jam.
No, yeah.
You know, I mean, he started that. And see, that's where LeBron's always going to be chasing that guy's coattails, because Jordan's the one that created the spots where LeBron's at now. You know, and LeBron gives him credit. But as fans, like you just said, though, you need to step back and just watch and enjoy it. Don't be so critical. Yeah. You know, it's, they don't realize how much it's wear and tear on their body. You know, he's 38 years old, but probably walks around on days off like he's 60. You know, enjoy it, you know. Be like Shaq, Shaquille O'Neal. That's one of the greatest players for the fact, the reason his attitude afterwards, he's still a big kid. And he looks at the game like that. And that's how fans should look at it. Enjoy it. It's like getting an Easter basket on Easter Sunday.
There's some pretty good games on today. Any games that are catching your eye today before? Really, we're just several weeks away from the NBA playoffs. Teams are now starting to catch their stride, fishing for those few seeds. And you got the Clippers in Chicago today. It looks like you also have the Pistons in Dallas. You just got done talking about Luka.
And you got Boston and the Phoenix, Jason Tatum, Kevin Durant tonight.
That's another NBA player people just can't sit down and watch is Kevin Durant. They always got to pick and argue about something with Durant.
That's one of the – he's a pure shooter. I'm not a Texas fan, but I didn't like him in Texas, but – he's one hell of a basketball player. He's Durantula, you know. He's got that demeanor about him. Plays the game.
Is there so many different skill levels of NBA players and teams this year? Is there a handful of teams, or is there like a team or two above the rest that you're just like, as long as they get in, nobody can beat them in seven? Is there a team like that this year in the NBA?
Boston, which they're already in, that team's going to be hard to beat. And the Nuggets. I mean, they're the number two seed, I believe, right now, two or three, because I think Minnesota's one, OKC's two in the West. Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns just got hurt. He had knee surgery. He's going to be out for a little over a month. That could hurt them. But with their team and the way they are, that would be a tough out. Dallas, you know, if Kyrie and Luka get in those playoffs and they have a decent run together, they could be scary. And then nobody, honestly, the Heat. You don't want playoff Jimmy going. You know, Jimmy Butler, when it comes to playoff time, that Spoelstra, their head coach, they just turn it on to a whole nother level. And they're on a good streak right now, even though they lost last night in OKC.
That was a good game, too, by the way.
OKC is a very, very young team, going to probably make some moves in the playoffs. I think they're just one big piece away from having that run. And they're going to finish off what the Thunder couldn't do when they had Westbrook, Durant, and Harden.
That's insane. Thinking about how long, but I feel like that's a pretty decent front office to lose all those people by year, 2015, they were all gone, 2016, and yep. Now here we are about 8 years later. It took about 7 years to really build a decent team back up.
That front office knows what they're doing, and they're drafting right, trading for the right players.
And it seems like all the talent Oklahoma City has right now is homegrown, you know. Whether it be through the draft or free agency, they didn't really go out and get a big free agent name.
No, I mean, Sage Gilgeous Alexander, when they went and got him, when they traded for him, he was young and he wasn't a real known name. He was in Toronto. You know, that kid made a name for himself. One of the top players for MVP. If he's not in that conversation, then you're not watching the games, then, you know, you're not a fan.
Yeah.
You know, like Minnesota, Anthony Edwards. Guy's built like a linebacker, but plays basketball. And he can act, too. He says he can. I've never seen his movies.
Speaking of movies, guys, we're going to take a small little clip of what's in store for tomorrow on the Cinema Movie Podcast. We talk our favorites of 2023. It's our year-end review, and then when we get back, we will talk some MLB spring training right after this. MLB is right around the corner. I believe opening day is in April.
29 days.
29 days. For the longest time, I don't know why, I can't get into games on TV unless it's like prime time, postseason's on the line. But, you know, being a fair, fun Texas sports watcher, Arlington's only 2 hours away from us. I've been to several Texas Ranger games. I can watch it and have a hell of a good time in person. Oklahoma City Dodgers, I don't know what they're going to be called now, though. I think they're changing the name. So we have a minor league team here in the city, and you know those games are always fun and affordable to watch. But speaking of the Rangers, they just got off a massive World Series championship run. Man, what teams and what players are you looking out for this year as far as spring training goes? And maybe what team are you looking to see might take that early lead run?
Me, I want to see what the Dodgers do. They went out and spent all that money. You know, Tommy, you know, the other Japanese pitcher, you know, they have a decent team, but they spent a lot of money to always come up short. You know, and usually they're, I guess, what could you say, they're, their niche is they can't beat the Braves, you know. So I've just seen what they do. I mean, I want to see what Juan Soto does with the Yankees. You know, he's batting ahead of Judge, so I want to see how teams pitch to him. And that, are Judge's numbers going to go up or go down? Is he going to hit that peak finally? You know, Diamondbacks, I want to see what they do. They went further than what anybody thought, and I think they're – that good. I mean, they're young, and I think they're that good. Baseball wise, there's a lot going on, money wise, you know.
And that's the thing I've noticed. Like, there's money in free agency in other sports, but then there's baseball money.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to see, like, dude, what else are these in it? What else are these baseball MLB owners into? Because it's like they just got money for days. And it always baffles me because when you watch the games, sometimes the stadiums are barely 25% full, and you're like, where's this money coming from?
That's some $50 hot dogs at the stadium. and the thing is, you know, if you look at it and you do a little research on it, a lot of your baseball owners are not individual owners, they're group owners. That's the other thing. They're not like a Jerry Jones or a Bill Kraft. You know, you have like the Dodgers, Magic Johnson's part owner of them. You know, it's a group. So there, you got a bunch of millionaires that are just willing to throw money. And it's, yeah, they throw ridiculous amounts of money. They waste a lot of money. There's almost like no salary cap.
Either, okay.
You know, there's no control of it. So these owners, they don't mind spending the money. And if you look at the stadiums, like you said, only 25% full, which it's no lie. And the stands look full. It's just they're big stadiums and
also ticket price. Probably, also, though, it probably has to do with maybe there's – because I know once MLB season kicks off, there's like Monday games at like noon when probably 60% of the fans are at work or something.
Yeah, baseball is like the only sport that during the summer, spring and summer, you can go to a game at noon, 1 o'clock. You know, you can leave work, call in, say Ferris Bueller's day off.
Yeah,
you know, he goes to the Cubs game when he's supposed to be at school.
Do you think with sports or teams like that, or like just professionals like that, do you think the MLB season is too long with too many games, or do you think they'll never switch anything up like that? Do you think it's literally America's pastime, and it's like, it's not broke, don't fix it?
I think that's what they're going to stick with. It's not broke, don't fix it. But, yeah, the season is too long. I mean, I would cut it down take 20 games off. I mean, 162 games is a lot.
That is a lot of games.
I mean, and yeah, okay, you're playing 4 days in a row, 3 days in a row before you get a day off, you know.
Not to mention there's double headers in there sometimes.
Yeah, yep. And then, you know, and when you do travel, you're in a town for 3 or 4 days, 5 days. You get a day off, you go home, or you travel to another town. You don't get many days off.
I feel like maybe if they made it almost like, and the NBA is even talking about shortening their schedule too. Yeah. I think you think maybe the MLB would rather keep it the way it is. I feel like if they shortened down the schedule, they could afford more night games with more sold out stadiums.
If they did, yes. And
that's just one thing I've never understood about baseball.
Yeah, I don't. Baseball, you want it to be that sport, but you want it should. I understand the day games. Chicago Cubs, they play a lot of day games, a lot. And they seem to perform better at night, and they always lose during the day. I mean, I think they should. It gives to me, a mentality like NFL, you know, you have your noon games, basketball. You're only on Sunday, certain days, on weekends, I could understand playing early games, not during the week. I think during the weekdays, they should have specifically night games. You know, because during the week, you're hurting your fan base by playing at noon during the week. Especially, like I said, everybody works, things like that. If you do that on the weekends, that's when you can get the family more. You get more of a crowd, more of a family environment. Baseball needs a change, whether they like it or not. You got a lot of old heads. Don't want to hear it, but you have to change something. You know, your ratings have always been going down. You haven't baseball, believe it or not, highest paid people in sports. But all that money, nobody watches it. They're just losing everybody because of the way it is, and they keep beating a dead horse, you know. It has to change.
So the closest team to you probably would be professional, would be obviously the Royals, right?
Yeah.
And then what about minor league? You guys have any minor leagues closer to you? Or?
We have the Wichita Wind Surge. They're associated with the Minnesota Twins.
Okay.
They're actually pretty decent. I mean, they had a good year last year. And we just got a new Riverfront Stadium that they built a year ago, almost maybe 2 years ago. But they're pretty decent, and fans show up and turn out for that. I mean, and then we do have the NBC World Series or whatever it is. We host that here almost every year. And it's a very popular event. I mean,
yeah. Same with us. I think. Here in Oklahoma City, they haven't even revealed the name yet. It's just a Oklahoma City Baseball Club. So I don't know. I think the Rangers used to own them. I'm not sure. The Dodgers. I don't know what's going on here.
Well, now the Dodgers are part of them now. That's their farm system. But it was the Rangers when they were the Oklahoma City 89ers.
Mm-hmm. Or we had the Red Hawks here.
Yeah, yeah. They were part of the Rangers, and then something happened. Like our minor league team, we went from Wing Nuts to Wind Surge to, you know, and they jump owners fast. These minor league teams, so that, you know, Oklahoma City, I know, and then Kansas, Wichita. These owners can't keep the teams because they can't, you know. But now there's a committee owning this team here in Wichita. And they've put a lot of effort into it. Attendances went up and things like that.
I know, same with us. Like, we went to a Dodgers game a few years ago. I'm going to say longer than a few years ago. It was like 2019, so pre-pandemic. Tickets were like $20 right behind the dugout. You know, prices were pretty decent. And it was like I said, in person, I always have a hell of a good time watching baseball. But yeah, it's really interesting to see minor league in baseball and how it's just like it truly is a breeding ground for the pros, unlike some of the other minor leagues and in other sports.
Yeah.
So I do appreciate that aspect of baseball.
That's the one thing they don't need to change, you know. Yeah. I think NBA has took a little riff from what the baseball teams does. That's where the G League is. You know, that's like their farm system. You know, you can play for the G League, but then you can get drafted in the NBA from the G League. And then they can send you right back. It's like the minor leagues of basketball. You know, it gives people time to hone their craft. And if they're not ready, they're not ready. You know.
So we'll talk a little bit about it before we leave, but March Madness, we'll talk about it again shortly. But, you know, the Big 12 and other conference championship games, I believe, are starting today.
Right? It's the end of the season, and conference championships are this week.
This week.
We got two big games today that I know of. Number one, Houston. Against number 14, I believe that's what they're ranked right now, KU. You know, and that should be a good matchup. And then you got the rivalry, Duke, North Carolina. You know, the ACC type of deal, you know. Yeah. And that's always a good rivalry. And that's those two teams, when they play each other, that's pretty much how their tournament's going to go. To them, this is their championship type of deal. Is when those two play each other.
So that realignment with the SEC and the Big 12 and, you know, all the extra realignments that start next year in football, does that also start with college basketball next year too?
Yes. It will be it's for the basketball and football mainly. So, yeah, I mean, because that it's gonna hurt the Big 12 overall in all sports. You know,
but they also get all those other teams that are added in the slate too next year, though, right?
Yep.
So, okay.
Yeah. I mean, they usually play some of them anyway, but now it's a conference thing. It just makes the conference bigger and tougher. You know.
And the Big 12 championship tournament is in Kansas this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in Kansas City.
Yep. Should be It'd be pretty fun. I've always watched the Big 12 championship tournaments. I always found it interesting that you have the regular season champion, and then whoever wins the tournament gets an automatic bid in the bracket, right? The tournament.
Yes. Whoever wins the conference tournament gets an automatic bid. You could be the worst team. You could only win 5 games that whole year. You win that tournament, you're in.
Interesting.
Now, which I like that. You know.
Oh yeah.
That's where college basketball is different than a lot of other sports. I mean, you win your conference, you're in. Okay, cool. You win your conference tournament, you're in. So that just the underdog still has a shot. And that's the thing about March Madness. Everybody wants that slipper. They want to be that Cinderella.
Which, I mean, every year, it doesn't matter. Now, those are some fun games. It doesn't matter if it's a 3 o'clock game or 8 o'clock game. The intense of each game is just off the charts because it's a one and done tournament. So I do like that feeling of March Madness, you know, one and done.
Yeah. It's every year I pay attention to it. Oh, I'm not, it brings you in. If you're a sports fan, it attracts you.
We, like I said, we'll touch on it here in a little bit as well before we get out of here. That's episode one, Monday, March 18th, that's going to be pretty much all NCAA men's bracket tournament talk. We'll reveal our brackets because selection show Sunday is the day before. So we'll definitely get to talk some more March Madness here in just a little bit. But we'll touch back in the NFL one last time. Russell Wilson, free agency has already kind of started. What's next for Russell Wilson, though? Where do you think he's going to land? I know a lot of Denver Bronco fans are upset because of the season they had. It was kind of like a roller coaster, and then, you know,
took that dive.
I know they were expecting Sean Payton and Russell Wilson to be a match made in heaven and just probably make an unbelievable run right when they got together, but it didn't work that way.
No, No, and I think that was two people with different egos and different alternative motives, let me say. Different motives for each other. I feel bad for Denver fans because now they're just in that rebuilding year for the next 5 to 7 years now. You know, and everything they gave up to get Russell.
Do you feel bad for Denver, or do you feel bad? I personally was
seeing bad for the fans. I feel bad for the Bronco fans.
I feel bad for Russell Wilson. I really think, you know, you don't play that long in Seattle and play that good and then go to a team and then you take 110% of the blame.
Well, but I don't really feel too bad for Russell because my opinion is when you have your own office, your own parking spot, he was bigger than the team. And that's where I don't feel bad for him. I'm a Russell Wilson fan when he played for Wisconsin, you know, things like that. When he played for Seattle, I don't like the Seahawks, but I didn't mind watching Russell play because talented quarterback for his size, everything like that. But his ego got the best of him, you know. I hope he can bounce back from this. I know he met with the Giants. That was one team, and then he was meeting with Atlanta.
Well, I hope he don't go to neither one of those teams. I read that, you know, somewhere that Mike Tomlin is sitting back just licking his chops. I think it's
Go to Pittsburgh and have a meeting too.
I think it's a match made in heaven if he can get to Pittsburgh, because last year they were just a quarterback away from giving people a lot of hell.
And the thing is, Pittsburgh's got that good culture. I think that could help Russell's ego.
Yeah.
Tomlin's that guy. I mean, he's never had a losing season.
Nope.
Since he's been a head coach. You know, Pittsburgh's always in it. They lead by their defense. They have a run game. They got young receivers. It's that culture. Pittsburgh, you know, that's that blue-collar team type of deal.
Yeah. I think Pittsburgh would
be it'd be a perfect fit for him. It'd be a match made in heaven type of deal.
Yeah. Other than Russell Wilson, what are some other interesting free agents that you could see bounce back? You know, we've heard about the Derrick Henrys, Saquon Barkley's. They're all over. Kirk Cousins is out there.
And
another thing that I'm shocked at is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers haven't signed Baker Mayfield. And like it or not, I really dislike the guy, but seeing him do what he did in Tampa last year was pretty phenomenal, and they're just kind of letting him slide through their fingers. I'm really shocked about that.
I am too. I think there's a really good chance that he will resign with Tampa. Because, I mean, there's too many quarterbacks in the draft.
Yeah.
The one thing. Running back's the best. If you're a running back being a free agent right now, you can go anywhere. Sky's the limit. That's why you're not going to hear many running backs in the draft this year. But Tampa should not let Baker go because they just re-signed Mike Evans.
Yeah.
Mike Evans, he's been in the league 9 years. Every year, 1,000-yard receiver. Different quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And he did that before Brady and he's done it after Brady. But you got to get that guy a quarterback and keep Mayfield. Mayfield and him had that connection.
I'm pretty sure there had to be some kind of an agreement. Hey, I'll re-sign with you guys if you keep Mayfield. Hopefully.
I think there was, because Mike Evans could have went anywhere. Anybody would have took him. You know, Dallas could have took him. That would have moved CD to number two, you know. That's how good Mike Evans is. And he decided to stay.
They still have Goodwin too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. You know, and Mike Evans, that's where you tell he bleeds Tampa type of deal.
Very, very, very rare these days in the NFL.
Yeah. He wanted to stay in Tampa. He could have pursued. He chose not to, and he resigned. He did get a decent contract, but he was worth more. Yeah. But I see some of these NFL players, he just chose to stay homebound. Yeah. He obviously likes Florida. So
I'm sure it's good on the joints.
Yeah.
You don't have to never cold. Yeah. One of the last segments, we're also both wrestling fans. We're not going to judge. We're talking all different sports. Professional wrestling is a sport. We just had SmackDown last night. Biggest tag team match in WrestleMania history is the way it's being labeled. Let's talk about it. Roman Reigns, The Rock versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, night one in the main event of WrestleMania, April 6th. We could obviously see this a long way coming, you know, long-term booking, but now that it's finally announced, are you excited? Do you want to see this happen?
Yeah. There's a lot of different elements, combustible elements. I mean, Seth Rollins during his little promo against The Rock, the young guys are there. Take your old ass somewhere else, but it's going to be interesting.
I haven't seen the promo yet, but from what I can tell, man, they're letting The Rock and them say whatever really they want.
I saw
Roman Reigns called Seth Rollins cross-dresser.
Yeah, and they're touching element. It reminds me of the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
A little bit. It had that feel. It's not the same, but, you know, because a lot of subjects they do touch on are pretty touchy. Yeah. You know, like The Rock when they were in Scottsdale, what he said, you know, oh, we're 10 minutes away from Phoenix, Coke and meth capital of the United States. Oh,
yeah.
You know, it's like, you're touching a lot of sensitive subjects with everything that's going on in the world, and you're getting away with it.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's good to sit back and just see stuff like that happen, because even though it is kind of touchy, it's like, hey, you know, at the end of the day, it's still entertainment. You wouldn't go, fence riot or go pick at a movie for a line that was said in a movie. You realize it's art, it's entertainment. You sit back and you let it happen.
Yeah, and it's them being themselves. That's that unscripted entertainment, you know. And they know what they're saying. And they know it hurts other people. But as a fan, you got to enjoy it. It's entertaining. I mean, there's too many rules and regulations on everything, and they're trying to break that boundary again, I think.
Yeah.
On certain things.
Which they should. I mean, also another big boundary that was broken was first time in history company is allowing a promotional sponsor to be on the actual canvas mat, starting with WrestleMania with Logan Paul's Prime Energy Drink or Prime Drink. Never before done. We've seen it done before in other promotions, WCW, you know, stuff like that. But a WWE show has never had it. So when I saw it, I thought it was just like a Logan Paul promo. You know, I didn't think anything of it, but I read into it like, no, it's actually being done. So times have changed, and I'm honestly glad to see things like this happen.
Yeah, it was brought to my attention last night about the logo and everything. You know, and you know how they do the little, like, camera, the CGI or whatever. Mm-hmm. You almost would have thought it was that, but it wasn't, which is good. It's helping other brands. Or helping each other type of deal, which is very good, which is very unheard of in WWE, period. You know, that's for their change, and they're doing something different.
And then, yeah, you can just tell, like, things are about to change and change fast and change big and change for the better. Like, even last week, The Rock referring to it as pro wrestling instead of sports entertainment. Like, the old man's gone. He's out of there. Things are officially, like, on the horizon. I feel like this could be the start of something just fresh.
Oh yeah, it's pro wrestling is going to go to new heights now. You know, because of that, because the old man is gone. Change your ways.
Yeah.
You know, which, and they're all open to it. That's the other thing. Mm-hmm. You know, these wrestlers seem a little bit more happier with the way things are going compared to what they used to be. Their morals seems high. If their morals high, their performance, their promos, all that tend to get better. It becomes more entertaining.
Yeah.
And the wrestling does get better, you know.
And this is like WWE's seventh sellout TV show in a row. Something they haven't done since the 90s or early 2000s.
Since the Raw days, yeah.
And I'm like, wow. Seven straight TV sellouts. That's pretty amazing.
And their views are, they're starting to hit back into 1.2, 1.4 million, you know, which is unheard of for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, the viewership has gone up a lot.
And when, you know, this is just, like I said, us getting our feet wet, first show talking sports. We're going to not just talk WWE. We'll talk AEW. We'll talk some TNA, New Japan. Speaking of New Japan, AEW, Okada just got a massive fucking contract from AEW. I think I saw in the range of like $4 or $5 million a year.
4.2 million.
Yeah, for the next 3 years. Good for him though. Good for these guys who are, you know, whether it be from AEW or WWE, like good for them to actually come over and start getting that kind of money. Because in the WWE, that's like, you know, that's like, it used to be like Roman Reigns money, Brock Lesnar money. Now, obviously, everything's a little bit higher, but man.
Well, and like you said, Okada, though, he, from Japan, he wasn't making that. Hmm. You know, now he's going to expose himself. A real true wrestling fan knows who Okada is. Now, Americans are going to get to see what type of wrestler he is, just like Will Ospreay. A lot of people don't know what that guy's about, and he's young. You know, yeah, he deserved the money, Okada, because he's going to bring a different fan base to America. He's going to expose wrestling in a different way. You know, he's going to make that just your casual wrestling fan want to watch New Japan, because you're going to want to know where these guys came from and what they were about.
Yep. I got to see Okada in the main event, Supercard G1, Madison Square Garden 2019. And, man, not only that whole show being something special, but just him, the entrance, the setup, the match itself. Like, are you worried at all that maybe AEW and Tony Khan won't present him the same way New Japan did? People always talk about, oh, if they go to WWE, his booking is going to get murdered, he's going to get buried. Tony Khan hasn't been really Booker of the Year, let's say.
I mean, no, Tony Khan's not. But he has no problem shelling out the money to push these guys. And I think Okada's going to be booked good. I mean, they put him with some of his former friends. You know, you're going to get some of these rivalries that people have been wanting to see in the United States. You're actually going to get it now, you know. When Omega comes back, you're going to get that, you know. You're going to get Okada and Omega. You're going to get the Elite against all that. I think Tony Khan's about to turn a corner on that.
That'd be nice.
I think Bryan Danielson's in his ear. You know, he helps him out with that, you know, because once he's done, I think he's going to be the one help running it, kind of like a Triple H type of deal. That's where I see Danielson doing that, you know.
And they just teased on Dynamite a huge one-on-one match, looked like, for Danielson and Ospreay.
Ospreay. Oh, yeah, that's going to be epic.
I think it's going to – the way they kind of tease it, you know, they're not waiting for it looks like they have a new pay-per-view in April called Dynasty. Looks like it might happen then.
I believe it happened then. Instead of they're all in.
Yeah, or they have Double or Nothing coming up in May, and it's going to be back at the MGM Grand in May. So I thought they would hold off for that. Because to me, I always felt Double or Nothing was their big show.
That was like their WrestleMania.
Yeah.
To me, yeah. I think if they get to have that match, if it happens at Dynasty, PLE, I believe it might be go that time limit. Then you're gonna have to they're gonna make you want another match.
Yeah,
and I think that's where that Double or Nothing would come in to play. This is the Double or Nothing match.
We'll have a little fantasy booking. Okada's come back. You know, he's looks like he's going to be full-time now in the States. Who's his first pay-per-view opponent, would you say? Or do you think they do a three-man tag with him and the Young Guns? Or six-man tag?
I think they're going to do a six-man tag in his first match. Unless he has a match before that Dynasty six-man tag, you know, type of deal. Because I don't want, this is where Tony Khan's booking needs to change. You bring a guy out and you hype him up, and then you don't book him for a month.
And then his first match is on like Collision or something.
Yeah. You don't book him for a month. You just have him come out and talk, and you don't wrestle. You have to show their ability. You have to feed people more, you know, make them want more.
I feel like the heat or the fire from Edge is already gone.
It fizzled.
Yeah.
I mean, his debut was big, popular, had that one match, you know, and then after that, he's really fizzled out. You know, and I know they got him and Christian going at it again, you know, for the third time.
Well, see, when they bring somebody in like that at another promotion, and it's been like 10 years since you've seen them in a ring together, doesn't matter what ring it was, are you always interested in seeing that? Or are you like, we saw a good match from them 20 years ago in a ladder match in 2001 when it, you know, or is it, you know what I mean? Like, we saw that before. Are you interested in their feud now, or is it just like, nah?
It's, to me, it's not. If it was booked right and came about right, it'd be more interesting because they have been apart from each other and done different things and accomplished different things away from each other. You know, now it's fizzled. That, yeah, it was so 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, have Edge face somebody young, wrestlers he's never faced before.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you said. You went to that promotion for change. You went to the promotion, did the same thing you were going to do in the other one. Are you afraid to do something different?
You know, we can talk on the Sting retirement match. Him and Darby Allin had a look like a brutal tag team championship match with the Young Bucks. I saw glass. I saw people going through all kinds of things. You think that match needed it, or do you think it should have been a more technical style of a classic tag team match?
That's what that match needed. Darby Allin is that guy, you know. He's like the skinny young Mankind type of deal. He's willing to put his body on the line for what he loves. And I think Sting going out that way was the way it needed to be. You know, it wasn't a cinema type of match, like how The Undertaker did. You know, Sting went out on his own and how he wanted to.
That's good.
You know, so now he didn't want to win, but they told him he had to, which I think was awesome. Not many people, you know, retire as a champion.
Yeah.
And then he left AEW undefeated. You know. And he could actually wrestle compared to Goldberg, so.
That's true. Man, you know, we touched on a lot of topics today. Like I said, this is just a preview for everybody. What's to come? We're looking at a 3 days a week, so a lot of topic of conversation. Episode 1, Monday, March 18th, 6:30 p.m. You can watch it live right here on Facebook and Imasawa Productions YouTube channel. Man, I think this was a fun little debut, and I think this is definitely more to come. There's going to be a lot of topics to, you know, get ready to talk about. March Madness, WrestleMania season's coming up, you know, the NBA playoffs, the NFL draft is coming. So I look forward to this adventure. I hope everybody else did. Kevin, I hope you look forward to this adventure.
I am looking forward to it.
I think we're going to be on a collision course for some fun conversations. And we're not afraid of debate either. So if you guys want to hop on, or anybody wants to send in some emails, you guys can do that. It's the same way you send in emails and social media on the podcast on Sundays. Facebook.com/ The Cinnamon Movie Podcast. The Instagram is all one word, Cinnamon Movie Podcast. X, formerly known as Twitter, is at cinnamon405. And in the email bag, you guys can email us anytime, cinemen921@gmail.com. Rep your city, rep your sports team, and send us in some conversations. Send us in who you want to see.
Yeah, send us your opinions. We're open.
Still a lot of more stuff we didn't talk about, but like I said, that's what these episodes are going to be about. 3 days a week, starting Monday, March 18th. Until then, guys, join us next time. Next subject matter is going to be tomorrow, Sunday, Oscar Sunday, March 10th, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. We talk the top five plus five of 2023. It's our year-end review on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. But next time you want to hang out with me and Kevin, again, go back Monday, March 18th, 6:30 p.m., Monday night. We're going to talk all about the NCAA March Madness bracket, maybe a little Raw preview that Monday as well. So, yeah, Kevin, anything you want to add before we get out of here?
No. Just tune in. Enjoy. Hope everybody enjoys. It's going to be a fun ride.
There you go, guys. Fun ride. Have a good weekend, and we will see you guys next time right here on Sports Breakers and the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Have a good weekend.
Be safe.